And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And one of the ways you can help us raise much-needed funds is at our annual Wake Up America Dinner that's going to take place on Sunday, April the 23rd at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House, better known as the Malvern Retreat House. It'll be 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, April 23rd. Everybody is more than welcome to come and join us. Kathleen McCarthy, our president, will be on hand to give the keynote address. The broadcasters, engineers, and a number of our supporters will be on hand. It's always a great afternoon, so please consider joining us. To get more information about the day, you can go to our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a link there where you can download the flyer. It's $55 per person, $100 per couple, or $400 for a table of eight. And more importantly, there's opportunities for sponsorship. So if you or somebody you know might be interested in sponsoring the event, by all means, download the information and pass it on to them. And we look forward to being with you on April the 23rd. And without any further ado, because we only have 30 minutes to spend with Kathleen today, I'd like to introduce Kathleen Beckman. She's an author of several books on the spiritual life, an Ignatian retreat director, an evangelist who has spoken in 13 countries, addressing seminarians, clergy, religious communities, and laity. She's often featured on Catholic television and radio. She is the president and co-founder of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests, an international apostolate of prayer for the holiness of priests, and a movement of spiritual motherhood and fatherhood for clergy. She also serves as the lay administrator of healing, deliverance, and exorcism ministry in her diocese and is a member of the exorcist team. For 6 years, she was on the faculty of the Pope Leo XIII Institute, which trains priests for the ministry of exorcism. She completed the International Association of Exorcists course at the Pontifical Regina Apostolorum University in Rome in 2017. In 2002, Kathleen was also invested in the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. And she and her husband live in California and have two married sons and a granddaughter. And Kathleen, what do you do in all your spare time?
That's unbelievable. Well, see, I'm old, Ken, so that spans over 30 years, which you just described.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting that you say that because I forget who I had on, and we were talking about saints and how, you know, you read Butler's Lives of Saints, and, you know, it might have three pages about the saint, and it lists all these things that they did, and you think that they did these things every day, when actually they did them over the course of a lifetime. So
that's right. It's over the course of a lifetime. That's right.
So we're blessed to have you with us. We only had a minute to chat before we get started, but we're going to talk about Blessed Conchita, and Kathleen Beckman's written a book called A Beautiful Holiness, A Spiritual Journey with Blessed Conchita to the Heart of Jesus. It's published by Sophia Institute, available at Sophia's Institute here locally in Philadelphia. I'd encourage you to visit the St. Jude shop to pick up your copy. If they don't have it in stock, they can get it to you in pretty short order. And in our brief conversation, I had mentioned that I knew absolutely nothing about Blessed Conchita and her spirituality other than some people that have quoted some of the things from her diary. So when I got the advanced copy, I was really interested and have started to read it. And one of the things that popped out right away, we call it "Is That Odd" or "Is That God?" is that you, I guess, had come upon Conchita and thought that a book should have been written about her. Approached one of your priest friends and asked him to write the book, and he turned it around on you and said, "Hey, why don't you write the book?" And so I think that may have been the primary impetus behind this project, right?
Well, it was an invitation, that's for sure. I did hear about Conchita. There's so many facets to her spirituality, and the only one I was familiar with was her spiritual motherhood of priests, because a priest in a prayer group that I hosted in our home for 20 years back in the 90s was really touched by her messages to priests that the Lord had given her. They're in a book, To My Priest. They're published. A lot of priests read that daily. They're really inspiring. mystical revelations that are approved and were given to her. So I knew that part of it. And of course, that really struck a chord because I have this apostolate of prayer for priests. But I didn't really understand the full scope of like her family life and her Marian life or Eucharistic life or the other writings other than what she had written for priests. So lo and behold, a visiting priest came to my parish where I am daily communicant, and he offered daily mass 2 days in a row, and I'd heard of him. His name is Father Domenico Raimondo, and I knew that he was at one time in Rome in the postulator for Conchita's cause of canonization. And so we introduced ourselves after mass, went out in the back of the church and chatted, and you know, he was just a wealth of information about Conchita. So I said to him, oh, Father, there's so many people in the United States, English-speaking world, that don't know about her. Well, she's well-known and beloved in Mexico, but you should write a book about her. And he just gave me that smile, and he said, let's pray about it. So we prayed. The next day he offered mass as well, and that's when he long story short, he said, I think you're the one to write the book. And so even though he really is the expert and he was really involved in the writing of the book and refused to have his name on the book, it is really to his credit that because he became, I call him my professor of Conchita Cabrera. And so I sat with the confessor, with the professor for a couple of years and then wrote the book.
Beautiful. And like I said, I knew very little about her. Maria Concepcion Cabrera de Armida was born in
Armida.
Born in Mexico in 1862, she'd spent 74 plus years on this planet, and I think she was a busy woman, much like yourself. Between what she did before she got married, she marries her husband, they have 9 children, her husband dies relatively young, and so she was a widow for some 37 years, took a vow or a promise of chastity for the rest of her life after her husband passed. But she led quite the life, didn't she?
Yes, it was a very, very interesting life. She was born into a wealthy, prominent family who owned many haciendas in San Luis Potosi, and which is south of Mexico City. She died in Mexico City, very devoted and a daughter of Our Lady of Guadalupe. But so she was born into a very devout family. They were prominent, but they were very generous with charitable works in the care of the sick, and she learned that. They also, her mother was very devoted to Eucharistic adoration, and of course she continued, Blessed Conchita continued that throughout her years. But in her married life, she suffered a lot of poverty. As you can imagine, she was 35 years old when she was widowed. And so and she was left with 8 children. One of the children had died while she was married. And then when her husband died, she had the 8 to raise on her own. And that's where she experienced poverty and financial hardship.
And but did not stop her. And, you know, she's obviously she was a mystic. And maybe for our listeners that aren't quite familiar with what mystics are and what that involves, would you take a minute to explain?
Sure. You know, when we it's in the catechism. I quote it in the book because a lot of people are confused about the word mystic, but it really does, and the catechism will support this, is where I'm quoting it, that a mystic is a spiritual person. It's a person who is living a spiritual life and is experiencing spiritually a communion and a communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're all called to that deep spiritual life. Not that we're all called to have visions or revelations like the saints and mystics that we read about and like Conchita did, but yet we're called to a very abiding, deep, and transformative communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we hear his voice, in which we communicate our hearts to him. And that spiritual life is a mystical life. And so it's something that's part of the universal call to holiness in all vocations. And I think that's what's key about Blessed Conchita, is that She witnesses to the call to holiness in the vocation of being a wife, a married, you know, being married, and a mother of nine children. That's where she was sanctified, within the domestic church. That's where she developed heroic virtue. And I think that that really inspires those of us who are called to the vocation of marriage and motherhood or fatherhood, that right where we are is where we are to be sanctified. That's where the Holy Spirit will help us to grow in heroic virtue. And, you know, the saints bear witness to that, and she does it in a very practical way.
And one of the words, and there's actually a chapter on, about it, I believe, in the book, is her mystical, well, a number of saints have these mystical relationships with our Lord or Blessed Mother, that it can vary with many of them. And the term that comes out with Blessed Conchita is this idea of mystical incarnation. And I think of the, like, Luisa Picaretta in The Gift of the Divine Will, and Teresa of Avila with her transforming union. And is this mystical incarnation, is this a different type of mystical experience that Conchita would have?
Yes, hers is unique, similar and unique. This is a big question, and it's very hard to sum it up in a brief description, because we're dealing here with some very loftical mystical experiences. And one reason I even wrote about the book, wrote about the mystical incarnation in the book, was because Father Domenico Raimondo, who is the missionary of the Holy Spirit, and other theologians that studied her writings for years on this one particular aspect of the mystical incarnation, agreed that all the baptized can live to some degree this mystical incarnation. And what is unique about it, because, well, we can live the mystical incarnation to some degree, all of us, because of our baptism. It is rooted in our baptism. It is the life of Christ in the soul. It's the person of Jesus Christ in the soul. But in the case of Blessed Conchita, it was not a passing way. It was a perennial presence of Christ in her soul, in which she was called to offer Jesus to the Father for the salvation of souls. And when I asked Father Domenico if this was like St. Teresa of Avila's transfiguration grace, he said, this is more Marian in character. And that when you think of Our Lady, she carries Jesus physically in her womb, but she's also birthing Jesus until the end of time spiritually, in souls. That's the work of Mary and the Holy Spirit. And so this abiding communion and communication is something that we can experience because of the great grace of baptism. I think, to simplify it for the sake of our listeners today, I really think it's something like St. Paul's words when he said, I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me. It's the central grace of Conchita's life, and everything that she underwent, which is intense, and, you know, you read about it in the book, is the pinnacle of this grace, was the mystical incarnation. And so there's many different facets to it, but at the end of that chapter, which is, again, a very lofty mystical explanation of it, I come down to three very practical points that reveal that we can live this out by the grace of our baptism, and I give three ways in which we can do that.
Very good. Our guest today is Kathleen Beckman, and if you want to learn the details of the mystical incarnation, you're going to have to pick up her book. It's called A Beautiful Holiness, A Spiritual Journey with Blessed Conchita to the Heart of Jesus, published by Sophia Institute, available at sophiainstitute.com. Also available here locally at our St. Jude shop. And, you know, over the course of the history of our Catholic Church, there's been a number of orders of priests that have come about. You have Francis, who started with the brothers, but eventually we would have Franciscan priests. You would have the Augustinians that took the charism of St. Augustine. You have various orders, and they're usually started by men. And you mentioned Father Domenico and hit the order of priests. And here's one now that's born out of Conchetta's spirituality. Is that correct?
That's correct. And, you know, for context for our listeners, we must always remember that Conchita was very faithful to being a wife and a mother. And though she inspired the order of priests, the missionaries of the Holy Spirit, and the order of nuns, the Sisters of the Cross of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, she was not like the Mother Superior of them, because she couldn't, because of her vocation as wife and mother. She was the inspiration. Her spirituality and charisms, she's the spiritual mother of them, but they were, so she inspired five works of the cross, actually, and that are still very much alive and inactive in the church. But the order, the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit, is a clergy order, and it is the one that she inspired, and there are many members of that order around the around different countries.
Very good. When we mentioned at the beginning of the show that you're the president and co-founder of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests, and it's not clear in my head right now as we're talking whether this started before or after your awareness of Blessed Conchita.
Well, it was way before I wrote the book. I founded and actually it was in 2013, and it was inspired that I do this when I was in the Holy Land, and then I sought permission from the congregation for the be at the Vatican, and got the blessing of, at that time, the prefect for the congregation clergy was Cardinal Piacenza. And so he encouraged this, and mine was really a response to the Vatican's call for Eucharistic adoration and spiritual motherhood for the holiness of priests. They had published a booklet in 2007 seeking, and it was sent to all the bishops around the world, and they were seeking to have Eucharistic adoration and spiritual adoption of priests specifically for their holiness. So that happened in 2013, and then it just happens that I wrote the book just in 2022, and so it dovetails very, very nicely, because you know, Ken, and you and I spoke briefly about this, the church needs holy priests, and it's a divine mandate that we pray for our clergy and that we spiritually support them with our prayers and sacrifices. And we can go deeper into that vocation. It's kind of a calling or a vocation within a vocation of spiritual motherhood and fatherhood. Now, Blessed Conchita was the mother of a Jesuit priest, and she's the mother of a religious sister. So she understood all vocations, if you will, and understood the real depth and weight to the priesthood and how important it is. And that's why I think she will inspire many readers of this book to take a serious look at a deeper intercession for priests.
No, and I couldn't agree more. The show before this one I host with a good friend of mine, Father McKay, and it's interesting. If people ever get a hold of my cell phone and they look at my list of contacts, when you get down to the Fs, there's like three screens of priests. It's fantastic. I mean, my mother passed away last September, and I ended up it was a blessing in the end, but I end up with an altar full of priests, and something that I never dreamed of. Because my background and involvement in ministry is more around recovery, and you know, as a result of my alcoholism. So, to the fact that somebody that got as low as I did has a half a dozen priests on the altar at his mother's funeral is absolutely amazing to me. But I know from my relationship with these men that their life is not easy. And especially in the times we're living in now, between the way people, you know, just give them the hairy eyeball because of the scandal with the number, with the lower number of priests that we have today, and the burden that puts on them, whether it's a, you know, additional masses, additional sick calls, And then, you know, I hear people talk about, oh, well, they should allow married priests and we'd have more of them. And these guys, I can't imagine what they'd be able to do for a wife and kids with the schedule that a lot of them run today. So,
I agree with you, Ken. I really agree with you. And I think that, you know, we need to remember that our priests are on the front lines. And this comes into the last book that I wrote on A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. You know, I speak about in the ministry that I am involved in the exorcism and deliverance ministry, I see the very intentional and deliberate attacks that aimed at priests and to bring them down, especially spiritually, so that they will not pray, that they are so busy or doing so many things that they lose that heart-to-heart communication with the eternal high priest. And so, you know, I feel led, and I think the Foundation of Prayer for Priests does as well, to pray for their protection, as well as for their growth in holiness, because they are the foremost target of the enemy that's very real.
Amen. And I got just a few minutes left, and I want to touch on the Blessed Mother. So one of the chapters in the book is Union with Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe, the Virgin of the Cross, and the Virgin of Solitude. Most of the great priests that I interact with have a wonderful devotion to the Blessed Mother. I've made multiple consecrations in my own life, and I know that she carries me day in and day out in trying to maneuver through life. And it's obvious here that Conchetta would have had a relationship with the Blessed Mother as well.
Absolutely. She, from the time she was a little girl, her mother was very devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So she is definitely a daughter of Our Lady of Guadalupe in a very profound sense of the word. And really, for listeners, Blessed Conchita Cabrera's spirituality could be summed up in love crucified. Thus, she was taught by Jesus about the Virgin of the Cross. And so in the book, I go deep into Our Lady's passion, mystical passion at the cross and all that she suffered. And Conchita was very much united to Mary in that way. And then toward the end of her life, it was very interesting. The Lord, now I was not familiar with this part of the Virgin Mary's life, and that is her life of solitude that followed after the ascension of Jesus to the Father. That she remained on earth, we know, and she helped to intercede to birth the new church. But more details of what Mary did during that time of her life came through reading the writings of Blessed Conchita. And then Blessed Conchita would very much imitate Mary in that way, because at the end of her life, she was alone. Her children were grown. She had raised her family. She had a lot of silence and solitude, a lot of suffering, a lot of time to contemplate Jesus and also Our Lady at that time. So it was really a beautiful thing to discover that part of Mary's life.
Very good. Again, our guest today is Kathleen Beckman, and we're talking about our book, A Beautiful Holiness, A Spiritual Journey with Blessed Conchita to the Heart of Jesus, published by Sophia Institute. And it's been great talking to you, Kathleen. We have just a couple of minutes before we have to go to a break. Is anything else that you'd like to pass on to our listeners before I have to let you go?
I would just encourage people to read the book. I really encourage spiritual reading. I can, you know, we get a lot of emails that fill our inbox, and my emails are usually questions about deliverance and exorcism, but also about spiritual direction. People want spiritual direction. They want to grow in the spiritual life, and I think this book is very much a handbook that will help people to have a new breakthrough in their spiritual life.
I couldn't agree more, and fortunately, I have these priests in my life that, although none of them are my official spiritual director, the number of them direct me when I need it. And I think because they are so busy, I know priests that are reluctant now to take on direct these just because they don't have the time. So having books like yours and others available in order to aid with that is a tremendous help. And I really look forward to getting through the rest of the book. You're welcome. And so Blessed Conchita, she had to get the first miracle, which you document in the book very well, that elevated her to blessed in 2019, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm involved, or try to be involved, with another, where you actually got a guy that's venerable, Matt Talbot, that we're trying to get moved up to blessed. He's so humble, we won't perform a miracle for us or intercede enough, or at least one that we can get proven. He's got millions of moral miracles, but we can't get one that we can document through doctors. But I understand from your book that there may already be more miracles that they're investigating, and hopefully
they get it. There are 20, I believe 21 miracles that they are considering that would be able to allow her to be canonized a saint. So they are, her cause is moving rather quickly in Rome, and we're grateful for that. And I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, because the miracles are there. I think that Conchita is, as the Vatican wrote in their own booklet, that she would become very important for the church. I think this is the hour for that. Amen. Because I think her witness to the lay vocation and the call to holiness is very much needed today.
Very good. I know you're a busy woman, Kathleen. I thank you very much for the time we were able to spend together. Again, I encourage our listeners to go out and grab the book, A Beautiful Holiness, A Spiritual Journey with Blessed Conchita to the Heart of Jesus, written by our guest, Kathleen Beckman, and published by Sophia Institute. Kathleen, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you, Ken. Keep up your good work.
You do the same. God bless you now.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, as luck would have it, we're going to have a second guest today, and Father Leo Joseph's already on the line, and we're going to be talking about the Pious Union of St. Joseph when we come back from the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you once again for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows us to bring you great guests like today. We've had Kathleen Beckman in the first segment talking about Blessed Conchita, and we're blessed now to be joined by Father Leo Joseph. Father Leo is from the southern part of India and belongs to the Religious Order of the Servants of Charity. St. Louis Guinella was actually the founder of the Religious Order. He entered the seminary in the year 2000 and did his theological studies in Rome from 2009 to 2012, and was ordained a priest in August of 2013. He came to the United States in 2016 and became the director of the Pious Union of St. Joseph in the year 2018. Welcome to the show, Father Leo. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Ken. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Nice to see you all through this radio show.
Yeah, so I mentioned to you when we spoke last week that I had gotten a call from, I think, a mutual friend in Susan Tassone, and she mentioned to me that you were back in the country. Apparently, you may have been out of the country, and that because of the Solemnity of St. Joseph that we just celebrated on Monday, and March being the month of Joseph, she suggested I get in touch with you, and we talk a little bit about St. Joseph and the Pious Union.
Yes.
So, how did you, when you were asked to take over as director of the Pious Union of St. Joseph, had you already had a devotion to St. Joseph before that?
Yes, Mr. Ken. Right from my childhood, it's just like a small brief story I would like to say that my parents are very much devoted to St. Joseph. In particular, my mom was from a very remote village, and in that small village, they have a very small chapel that is dedicated to St. Joseph. And when I was born, my family members, to say my maternal uncles, they wanted to name him Joseph, so they gave me the name Leo Joseph, okay? Then later on, slowly I started knowing about the curiosity of knowing about who is St. Leo and who is St. Joseph. Then when I started reading about the life history of Pope Leo the Great and then St. Joseph, I was much more touched by the life history of St. Joseph. Then later on, then I received a call from God to become a priest. Then I entered the seminary of my religious order. The name of the seminary is also dedicated to St. Joseph. Hmm. And then years goes on, and I was ordained in the same seminary of St. Joseph. And then later on, I had a chance of serving my diaconate ministry in one of the state, in one of the cathedrals named St. Joseph Cathedral. And then, later on, then I was asked to come here and to serve this Pious of St. Joseph, patron for suffering and dying. So right from my beginning, still I have a great devotion towards St. Joseph.
No, it sounds like it. It's always interesting to me how God operates. And nothing in our life is wasted. Every moment, if we look at it, we can see where God is directing you. And I thank you for your yes when God gave you that call to become a priest. And, you know, not always an easy decision to make. And so I thank you for your yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So you're now the director of the Pious Union of St. Joseph. And maybe you could just briefly describe for our listeners what the Pious Union is and what's available there.
Okay. Yeah. Pious Union of St. Joseph is nothing but it's a confraternity of prayer for the suffering and dying. So to say, this Pious Union of St. Joseph was born from the love of my founder, St. Louis Guanella. And he understood that the last hours of people's lives were the most important for every human being. So in all these hours, all dying persons make the decision to abandon themselves to the mercy of God or reject his love. So from that time on, he wanted to do something for these people. So in his life, he realized that his physical strength could no longer sustain the order of the spirit. So he understood that saving souls was even more important than caring for the suffering body, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that he gave birth to the new ministry of love. So to say, Pope Pius X, he was a very good friend of St. Louis Guanella, and he became the first member of the Pious Union of St. Joseph. And from then on, it slowly developed and then spread throughout the world, and was officially approved by the Pope in the year 1913, and was extended to the whole world in 1914. So my founder, he wants to dedicate a shrine to St. Joseph, patron for suffering and dying. So we have one international shrine that is in Rome, Trionfale, in Italy. And later on here, this is the only shrine of Pious Union of St. Joseph that is dedicated to suffering and dying people, is the only unique shrine that is in America. So this is how slowly it has been brought up into this world. And to say, here, especially in the United States of America, we have more than 30,000 members have become the members of the shrine. And to say, the most important mission of this Pious Union of St. Joseph is to pray for suffering and dying every day by saying a very short and very simple prayer. So the prayer goes this way: O St. Joseph, foster father of Jesus Christ and true spouse of the Virgin Mary, pray for us and for the suffering and the dying of this day. So when this prayer, when people started saying this prayer every day, so they also get a partial indulgence each time, and also the grace upon them, all those who devote to this holy ministry of prayer for the suffering and dying.
Now, and that's great. And I've had Susan Tassone on in the past, and I was a little bit familiar with your work, but I had not actually joined the Pious Union myself until last week. I have the prayer in front of me in my prayer book, and it's for those of us, everybody that's listening, everybody in the world has probably knows someone that has passed. And to your point, this charism to save souls is probably the greatest charism we can have, whether it's to help them in their spiritual journey as priests or ordained ministers, sisters, brothers, to help them during their with their spiritual life while they're well. But when those final hours come and it's the real battle begins for those souls, that's where this Pious Union comes in, and yeah, the great work they can do. So for those that are listening, if they wanted to become part of the confraternity, how would they go about that?
Yes, they can go on to our website, www.piousunionofstjoseph.org. They can, you know, online, they can become a member, or they can call to the office saying that, hey, I want to become the Pious Union of, member of the Pious Union of St. Joseph, okay? So it's all free of cost, okay? We don't pay or charge anything. It's all free, and once they become the member, we send to them a membership card, and also there's a beautiful chaplet of St. Joseph will be given. Also, including that, we also give the holy clog in honor of St. Joseph. So by once they become a member, what happens, you know, if they will be the mass will be offered on every Wednesday of week all throughout the year. Mass will be offered for them. Along with that, along with that, this is something very special. Okay, so from the day on their enrollment, they will receive the plenary indulgence, especially on the important days such like March 19th, the Solemnity of St. Joseph, and May 1st, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, and October 24th, the Feast of My Fonts and Louis Guanala, and on the all Sunday after Christmas, on the Feast of the Holy Family. So they receive plenary indulgence. Apart from that too, a partial indulgence is also granted each time the prayer of the pious union is said, and each time an act of piety and charity is performed for the spiritual well-being of the suffering and dying. So it's all free, and once they become the member, automatically they'll be they have to pray for the suffering and dying, and the Mass will be offered on every Wednesdays of the month all throughout the year.
Very good. I've been asking on occasion, a good friend of mine, Father McKay, offers Mass for us daily, and on Wednesdays, if there's not a particular saint, and it's one of the options that you have as priest, right, is to offer the Mass for St. Joseph, or the Liturgy for St. Joseph. So I've been able to get him a couple of times now to do it. We talked in the 4 o'clock hour. I had another show, and we spent almost the whole hour talking about St. Joseph and the role he's played in my life and some others' lives. So it's just great. You mentioned the word indulgence a couple of times. You talked about a partial and a plenary, and I know I didn't give you any advance notice on this, but sometimes indulgences get a bad rap, especially if you go back to Martin Luther and, you know, where, you know, they were actually being sold and those types of things. But when I came back, I was away from the church for a while. When I came back and I started getting some of the older holy cards, and on the back of them, you know, they would have an indulgence of 1,000 days and an indulgence of 300 days and what have you. I would talk to my mother-in-law about it. She was deeply religious. And so maybe for our listeners, if you just give them an idea of what a partial or plenary indulgence is, so that they might encourage them to take you up on the offer to join.
As I said before, once they become the members, okay, so automatically they are already being included for the plenary indulgence, the members, they once they become the members.
Yeah.
And on every special feast that are being celebrated in our shrine, okay, so automatically they are being given a plenary indulgence. At the same time, the partial indulgence, whenever they say the prayer, especially, as I said, the particular prayer.
Right.
So it's a partial, and also it's for the spiritual well-being, for the each unique soul to get relieved from the purgatory, so that they also get an intelligence.
Yeah. So just to clarify, could you explain what a plenary indulgence is?
Plenary indulgence is, plenary indulgence is like sort of the sins, for example, when the people go for confessions, okay? It's like something like absolution prayer, for example. It's plenary intelligence is applicable only to the souls in purgatory, okay? It's also granted to the faithful who visit a cemetery and pray for the departed on any and each day all throughout the year, or especially from November 1 to 8, or devoutly visit the church or an oratory, or recite a special prayer like Our Father or the Creed on All Souls Day. So there are many things to be learned from plenary intelligence.
Very good. One of the things that's offered at piousunionofst.joseph.org, the website for the Pious Union, is Gregorian Masses. These are something that I wasn't real familiar with until last year when Susan Tassone talked to me about them. Could you explain to our listeners what Gregorian Masses are?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to explain about this Gregorian Masses. So the Gregorian Masses, first of all, many wants to know what is Gregorian Masses, before knowing the, what is Gregorian Masses, how it came into existence, that is very, very important. Okay.
Right.
For example, Gregorian Masses began in the name, celebrated in the name of, in the honor of Pope St. Gregory the Great. So to say, in one of his, in his life history, he was the first pontiff to receive the name Great, and also he was the first Benedictine monk to become Pope. And he, Pope tells in his dialogues, he ordered 30 masses to be celebrated on 30 consecutive days for the repose of the soul of Justice, a monk who died in his monastery of St. Andrew on Mount Celio in Rome. And what happened? Justice died without the sacraments for violating the vow of poverty for 3 gold coins he possessed in his cell. So at the end of the 30 masses, Justice appeared to his blood brother, Copiosius, a physician, who had assisted him in his last illness, saying he had been delivered from the prison of purgatory. And Copius shared this with the monks, and they realized that on the 30th day of the celebrated masses, Justice was released from his sufferings by the merits of the holy sacrifice of the mass. So on the same day, St. Gregory was assured of the deliverance of the soul of Justice. And in the church of St. Gregory on Mount Celio is the original altar where these masses were first offered. So this same altar is where Pope St. Gregory offered masses for purgatorial souls. At the same time, the tradition also holds that our Lord spoke to St. Gregory and said, "My friend, I want to grant in your favor a privilege that will be unique. All souls in purgatory for whom 30 masses are offered in your honor and without interruption will immediately be saved, however great may be their debt toward me." So this is the story, and this is how the Gregorian Masses are being offered. And precisely I want to say that the Gregorian Masses are to be celebrated only for the deceased, not for the living.
Correct. And so when people request these masses through the Pious Union, are they said here locally at the shrine, or are they sent to missionary priests?
We get a lot of Gregorian Mass requests, and we always do. We send all the most of the masses to the missionary priests, the missionary countries, okay? And they will say the masses, and we'll keep track of the masses. So once they order for Gregorian Masses, so within 2 months, after 2 months, the Mass will be celebrated. That is 100% confirmed. So all the Masses, all the people, those who request for Gregorian Masses in this shrine, always be celebrated all throughout the world.
Very good. I know when my mother passed away last year, I had a good friend of mine that purchased the Gregorian Masses for my mom. And prior to that, he and I, when we have mutual friends that we'll get together and purchase them. But we weren't getting them through the Pious Union because we didn't know about you. Now that we know about the Pious Union, we'll be making our requests through you guys. So day to day in your operation of the Pious Union, how do you keep busy? I know from our little email exchange over the last week or so, you've had quite a few Chaldeans that have come to visit you in the last week or so?
Yes, this shrine is famous for, as I said, we have a group of Chaldean pilgrims, okay? They are very much devoted to St. Joseph, and they come every year, especially in the during the Feast of St. Joseph. And this year on 18th, last Saturday, I had some 11 buses, almost 700 Chaldeans were present here. And Monday, there was one bus, and today I had one more bus. So they all come and participate in the Mass, and they also do the prayers to St. Joseph, novena prayers to St. Joseph. Also, they also bring their own priest, and they celebrate Mass in Arabic language. So on 18th, they had Mass in Katihar, Chaldean Mass, with their own priest, and today also they had Mass in Chaldean.
Interesting. I didn't know that there were that many Chaldeans here. And so are they local to the area where you are, or they come from quite a distance to visit?
They are almost an hour and a half to travel to come here.
It's a pretty good devotion to make that trip. So, and again, the Pious Union is and your shrine is there in Grass Lake, Michigan. That's right.
Yes, it's in Grass Lake, Michigan.
Very good. So, our guest in this segment has been Father Leo Joseph from the Pious Union of St. Joseph. To learn all about the Pious Union, you can visit their website at piousunionofst.joseph.org. They also have a spot there on their website where you can get in touch with them by phone or by email if you want to reach out, if you have any other questions about joining the confraternity, about how to get the Gregorian Masses. It's all right there on their website. Anything else, Father, before I let you go?
Thanks for the opportunity, and also not only Gregorian Masses, we also do Novena Masses, Triduum Masses, regular Masses, and perpetual book enrollment Masses, and above all, Masses for the Unborn is being also celebrated every 16th of the month here, and enrollment in the Golden Book, the Masses will be celebrated on every first Friday of the month. So you're most welcome to enroll yourself and get a lot of blessings through St. Joseph, the patron for suffering and dying, situated in Grass Lake, Michigan.
Very good. I'm glad Susan Tassone reached out to me, Father Leo, and put us in contact with one another, especially in this week where we celebrate the Feast of St. Joseph. So thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us, and maybe we'll have you back again next March as a reminder for folks about the work that you're doing there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Ken, for the opportunity, and thanks to Susan Pearson, and thanks to all the listeners of this radio show. May God bless you, and happy Feast of St. Joseph.
Very good.
Thank you, one and all.
All right. Thank you, Father. Great to be with you.
Well.
All right.
Yeah, great pleasure to be with you all. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. So, again, Father Leo Joseph from the Pious Union of St. Joseph. And, you know, we were talking earlier in the first segment, we had Kathleen Beckman on. And in addition to her book, you know, she has another organization, the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. If you have the time and you want to pray, I don't think there's any limit to the number of organizations that are out there that you can find an opportunity for the particular devotion or a particular cause that you want to get involved in. That's one of the things I come away with after this hour, is just the opportunities we have as a Catholic Church as a whole, and especially the role of each of us individually that we can play in supporting one another through these great organizations. So, once again, on this Wednesday, being able to spend a couple hours with you has been a great joy for me. I want to thank you again for all that you do for us here and at NS Sign Catholic Radio. Continue to pray for the apostle. Continue to pray for Kathleen McCarthy. Not that there's anything wrong. She's getting a much-needed break and been away for a couple of weeks. She'll be back in relatively short order now, I guess. But, you know, the work that we're doing, even though we've been at it here at NS Sign Catholic Radio for 40 years, I've only been at it here for maybe 8 years, but we need it now more than ever. We watch what's going on in this world. We watch what's going on in our own country, in our state, in our city here in Philadelphia. And it's interesting to hear some of the folks that are you get on even the mainstream media now, where I heard somebody the other night talking about it, you know, everything that was right is now wrong, and everything that was wrong is now right. And, you know, things that are upside down, people talking about us already living in a police state. And, you know, by definition we are, where they decide who they want to lock up and then find a crime to go along with it, as opposed to, you know, actually taking care of the real crimes that are being committed and trying to find those that commit them. And so we need to pray now more than ever. We need to prepare in various ways, but especially through prayer and getting closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Catholic Church. And in doing so, we're just preparing ourselves for, if nothing else, for our own deaths. And, you know, we often don't want to talk about it, something people don't want to talk about at all sometimes, but it's going to happen to all of us. And it's really one of those things that we should be preparing for each day. And when we meditate on that, when we think about that, I think it helps us to lead lives that are a little bit different than they would be if we don't think about the end of our lives. So I offer that up as an opportunity in your own prayer life to meditate on those last four things: heaven and hell, death and judgment. And it's been life-altering for me, I know that, and I'll continue to do it, because it's only brought me good things, interesting things, put me in touch with people that I never would have been in touch with. And one of them is Peter DePalma, who will be back again next Wednesday to talk about the gift of the divine will and all things Catholic. So I want to thank you all for being with me again on this Wednesday for whatever part of the 2 hours. We are here Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. The signal should be quite a bit louder now, quite a bit better now that the sun's up until almost 8 o'clock at night. And so join us on a regular basis, and look forward to hearing from you as time passes. So thanks again, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Till then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.